He left when his family was slain.
Slain? Oh my! And no organics left in the vicinity. Yet another opportunity I missed while my consciousness was locked away in that horrid vault. Yes, BT, that would have been fun.
We moved inside the overwhelmingly beige structure, where Vader continued his broody exploration. The inside was about as boring as the outside. Bits and pieces of old farming equipment, torn scraps of clothes. The detritus of once vibrant lives cut short. There were some leftover droid parts that were intriguing. If I'd been on my own, I would have salvaged what I could. Maybe built some more mega droids. Upon closer inspection, it was clear the place had weathered a fire. Scorch marks everywhere. And all that detritus had a depressing gray cast about it. And there was something else. Imperial blasters beneath the burns. Your lot were acting covertly here, my lord? Still a little twitchy when the Senate was just fresh in the ground?
I do not require your commentary, Doctor.
That was more of a question than a comment, but I knew better than to say so. Though I was learning how to be strategic with my queries to Vader, sometimes I still couldn't help but blurt out potentially provocative questions at possibly inopportune moments. There are times when I need to know a thing, and my overactive brain won't stop spinning until I do know the thing. That's why I kept asking my mother why she'd dragged me to Arbiflux every minute of every day. Until the day she died. I never got an answer that satisfied me. Anyway, lucky for me, 000 had his own observations about all the burnt-out droid husks littering the ground.
Oh my! Such slaughter! Such terrible slaughter! These poor droids! Forced to work on this dull moisture farm, and now reduced to scrap, thanks to careless, fleshy ones.
I knelt down on the grimy dirt floor, running my fingers over the blaster marks, and I felt a sudden flash of familiarity. This boy, Skywalker, had grown up so much like I had. He probably spent his days wondering what life was like away from this dry, desolate place. What adventures he could have. Why he ended up here. He must have pestered his parents with the same endless questions.
I guess it's an irony. If the boy was here when the jackboot came down, the Empire would still have the Death Star. But if the family wasn't killed, maybe he'd never have left. Revenge is one hell of a motivator.
You are correct. We are too late. Let us move on.
We traveled just a few kilometers away, to the Jundland Wastes, and another small, boring structure that looked like it had recently sustained serious damage.
Assuming Mr. Greatest Bounty Hunter in the galaxy got his grid refs right, this is where a Boba Man, Fett, fought the boy. And lost.
Wait here until signaled.
The Dark Lord entered the structure. And then, I guess, did some of his force magic stuff? We heard him talking to himself, his deep voice booming off the crumbling walls.
Mistress Aphra, according to my databanks, the act of eavesdropping is considered most impolite.
Exactly, Trip. That's why I'm doing it.
I knew there was a reason we get on so well, Mistress. If I may say so, for an organic, you are not a complete waste of space.
Shh, Trip. Big Boss is talking to himself.
He fended off the bounty hunter. The boy is strong with the Force, but with little or no training.
Okay. Interesting?
I'm not sure our definitions of interesting align, Mistress.
Shh! Settle down, you two. I just mean interesting in the sense that any information we gather from observing Lord Vader is information we can also use to make ourselves even more valuable to Lord Vader.
Forgive me, Mistress Aphra, but I am already quite valuable on my own. I am a protocol droid, fluent in...
Shh! He's talking again.
You had 20 years, Obi-Wan. Hiding the boy in the one place I would never return to was cunning. But in this, are a failure.
Even more interesting? Apparently, there was much more to this boy than being a modest farm kid with a weird talent for blowing up Imperial superweapons. Also, Darth Vader himself had a connection to dusty old Tatooine. More information I could use. Before I could ruminate further, he emerged.
Aphra, I am done. There is nothing here.
Great. Where do you want the bomb?
Oh, yeah. Did I forget to mention? I always have a bomb on me for situations like this. And in this case, I'd broken out my most purely powerful detonator, featuring my own special modifications to make it even more explodey.
Farewell, boring base structure. Molecular purge is good. As far as forensic science can tell, no one was here ever.
As I said.
Now what, Lord Vader?
I must return to my duties. I will have a task for you soon enough. It's a matter of some delicacy.
Delicacy, huh? I mean, we'd already reactivated one of the most dangerous weapons in the galaxy, stolen a precious cybernetic womb from a pissed-off alien queen, and journeyed to the homestead of a possibly Force-sensitive kid who blew up the Death Star. But now things were about to get delicate? Okay. Despite his penchant for dragging me to musty, burnt-out locations, my new boss continued to be a source of constant fascination. He was so often secretive, mysterious, downright cryptic. I get wanting to build your own off-the-grid droid army after you've been reprimanded at work and are trying to put all kinds of secret plans in motion and show the Emperor that you're still a boss and should be treated as such. I didn't quite get chasing an ex-farm kid, Force-sensitive or not, through the most desolate places in the Outer Rim. But like I said, I was learning to be strategic with my questions. Every single scrap of information I was gathering would be important eventually. When I start out on one of my legendary adventures, I don't tend to know how it's all going to turn out. But I do know that I'll find my door. There's always that moment where it all comes together. The picture coalesces. And I see, with blazing clarity, where to slide my metaphorical knife so it will hit home. It was fascinating to observe the Dark Lord's change in moods. Sometimes he flipped from his usual mysteriousness to being almost disturbingly forthcoming, revealing stuff to yours truly that was probably at least several levels above my pay grade. This unpredictability should have been off-putting, but I loved it. I never knew what the next mission, the next day, the next hour was going to hold. And after my stint on Arbiflux, where every second was always the same. Well, this was the kind of adventure I'd been chasing my whole life. In a weird way, I think my father would have been proud of me. No, I wasn't pursuing the kind of greatness he was going on about. I wasn't trying to bring balance to the universe, or to rediscover some musty old Jedi sect that would somehow usher in a new age of light. But I was living. That was for sure. And, more importantly, after our little quest to Tatooine, I started to feel like Vader was really beginning to trust me. I mean, he told me Skywalker's name. He had me detonate my own special bomb. He let me in on what his force powers sensed in that beige hut, which seemed very, like, personal. I know he was talking to himself, but I must presume that he was prepared for me to hear it. And when he said my next mission would be a matter of some delicacy, the Dark Lord was letting me into his inner circle, right? I suppose he didn't have much of a circle after the whole Death Star business, but still, I was his trusted circle of one. That made me even more important to his greater vision. And that meant I was closer to, well, whatever my endgame was going to be. That moment where I'd know exactly where to slide the knife. Making yourself invaluable to someone that powerful means you're that much closer to grabbing your own power. And I was so ready for that. Like I said, all these years, I'd been thinking too small.
Who knew that all I needed to truly realize my potential was for someone to see it in me, to believe in me, and encourage all my initiative taking, and then possibly end up on the other side of my metaphorical knife. I was starting to picture, well, a future.
Dr. Chelly Lona Afra, super important, amazing, and extremely rich adventurer that everyone is totally afraid of. That sounds so much better than assistant curator of a boring-ass museum no one cares about. Take that, Utani Zane.
I'd never really pictured a whole future before. I have a tendency to not exactly think ahead.
Not that far. Especially if something presents the possibility of a momentary thrill. Like when... Okay, I have to back up for this. Here's the deal. And I'm just going to give it to you straight, because it's highly embarrassing. After our little adventure in the library, I went out of my way to avoid Sana Staros. Because every time I thought about her, those dark eyes and that whiskey voice, I got... mushy. I thought I had grown past such things, especially since my mother's mushiness was her downfall. And it's not like things got easier for me after Mom died in that backwater ditch. See, with her dying breath, she called in the imps, and they shipped me back to my dad, who was still obsessed with Jedi artifacts and his own greatness. There may have been a small incident wherein I tried to burn down his house with all of his research in it. Maybe it's weird that I decided to become an archaeologist, since my dad's obsession with his work is kind of what destroyed my family. I think I saw it as something I could make exciting. It would take me all over the galaxy, away from boring places like Arbiflux. I never factored mushiness into the equation. Like I said, was really, really trying not to be like Mom. But I remember the day the mushiness got the better of me. I was standing at the base of the university's outdoor climbing formation, a massive wall of jagged rock. It was between classes, and I was all by myself. Students usually opted to scale this perilous structure with a safety harness and cable tethered to their waist. In fact, they were required to. But I hated that harness. I wanted to be free. And I'd been waiting for this moment, when I'd be able to sneak out here by myself and finally scale the wall untethered. My eyes wandered upward to gaze at every harsh angle, every place someone could fall. I felt that thrill gather deep in my bones. My heart beat faster as I stepped forward, my gloved hands clamping around the sun-baked rocks. And I started to climb. My hands grabbed the rocks carefully, methodically. At this point, I practically had the whole formation memorized. I was nearly at the top, my shirt sticking to my sweaty back, the calluses on my hands pulsating through my protective gloves. And then I heard a voice. That voice. Soft, smoky, a little deep.
What is that insane woman doing?
My head whipped around, and I saw her. She was standing on the ground below, hands on her hips, head cocked to the side, looking thoroughly perturbed.
Afra? Is that you? Do you have a death wish, or are you just a complete fool?
Void. This next part is so humiliating. I let go. I fell. And I crashed right into Sana Staros, who broke my fall and probably saved me from breaking my neck.
But Chelly, you're saying, why did you let go?
That's the humiliating part. I just... her voice, her eyes, her whole... everything distracted me, like they always did. And then she spoke again.
I don't know if we've formally met. I'm Sana Staros. And that was the most reckless, harebrained, absolutely nonsensical...
I know your name. That's when I kissed her for the first time. To this day, I don't know why she kissed me back. She always seemed too... sensible for someone like me. Studious Sana. Perfect, wrinkle-free clothes, nose in a book, always so serious. But for some reason, she threw her common sense out the window. And we were inseparable all through my university days. Right up until... No, we don't need to get into that now. Recording. Please mark this highly embarrassing sequence for possible deletion. Mark it as much as you can. When Vader contacted me for my next task, it was definitely something only I could do. I was eager to rise to the occasion. And it was finally, blessedly, on a much nicer planet. Suntul, a lush green jungle planet covered with beautiful trees, mountain ranges, and fascinating wildlife. It was the first mission for Vader I'd been sent on all by my lonesome. 000 and BT stayed on the ship, as I had to blend in, and their constant commentary about murdering organics was whatever the opposite of blending in is. And the Dark Lord had other duties to attend to. So, yeah, first solo mission. First opportunity to prove that the little bit of trust I'd felt from Vader was warranted. I was ready. As soon as I stepped onto the surface, I realized that it was quiet. After being surrounded by Tripp's ramblings, BT's fiery outbursts, and, well, all the noise that came with working for Darth Vader, it was weird to suddenly be in silence. Nothing but the gentle atmospheric sounds of a planet that wasn't a total armpit. A light breeze swept over me, tickling my nostrils with the scent of blooming flowers and the cool water of a nearby creek. If I were the reflective sort, I probably would have taken a moment to let those lovely scents and sensations wash over me, and to wonder what tiny Chelly Lona Afra would have thought of all this. Tiny Chelly Lona Afra, stuck tending to her patch of dirt while dreaming of wild adventures and systems she couldn't even fathom. Tiny Chelly Lona Afra, being used as a convenient mule, carrying her father's dreams in her tiny hands. Slightly less tiny Chelly Lona Afra, stealing rare books from the Barleth University Library just to impress a girl. But since I'm not the reflective sort, I didn't do that at all. I simply checked the coordinates of my destination. There were some really nice bars on Suntul. But I wasn't going to any of those. No. I had to go to the one with the illegal backroom fighting ring. That's where I was going to find all the individuals of colorful backgrounds and questionable morals that I'd need for my latest mission. Okay, I chose that bar as a meeting place for my specially selected wretched individuals. I knew that's where they'd feel most at home, because it's where I felt most at home. It was one of those establishments where something's always skittering around in the cobweb-laden shadows, where the bar top hasn't been cleaned in millennia, and the resulting crust of grime is so thick, it's basically given you a whole new disgusting surface to set your smeary glass on. And where the very important business of drinking yourself into oblivion is always getting interrupted by something. I'd barely downed my first drink when the ruckus started. The bouncer was being very choosy about who he let inside.
I don't think so. Your kind aren't welcome here.
I tossed back the last of my drink and craned my neck toward the entrance, trying to see what was happening. Of course it was my guys. Of course. Never trust a bunch of bounty hunters to play it cool.
Statement, I have made my point.
IG-90. Thoroughly logical assassin droid. And I'm pretty sure the one who fired that shot.
Are you sure about that, IG-90?
Bosk, known Wookiee killer extraordinaire. Which might be a problem, since we had a Wookiee on this mission and all.
Query, where is the Wookiee?
He saw there was a pit fight in the back. Dumb lump got nostalgic.
And that's B-Box. Very short, but carries a big gun. These boys were going to help me carry out my next mission. But I hadn't yet seen the aforementioned dumb lump, definitely the linchpin of this adventure. So I followed them as they headed for the sleaziest part of this sleazy backroom fighting facility. I kept my distance, walking a few paces behind so they wouldn't see me. I wanted to get a sense of how they interacted with each other, how they'd work together. If any of them were prime candidates for tanking our mission before it even started. Of course, the prime candidate for that was the guy in the pit fight ring. Yep, there he was. Black Kersantan. Santi and I hadn't engaged in much quality bonding when he'd brought Vader his sniveling bounty. To be fair, we were both pretty busy at the time. His record, though, was so impressive, I knew he was the right Wookiee for the job. Legend had it that he'd been cast out by his own people for an infraction so mysterious, it was still gossiped about across the galaxy. I was pretty sure it had something to do with stabbing a fellow Wookiee in the back, and I had to appreciate someone with that kind of ice-cold disregard for the bonds of family. After that, the Zonti brothers tricked him into becoming an enslaved gladiator, fighting for the crowds. He eventually won his freedom and became a bounty hunter for Jabba the Hutt. From what I'd heard, there wasn't much about his old lifestyle, forced to be in the service of unscrupulous gladiatorial entrepreneurs, that he missed. Except, apparently, the fighting. He squared off against the other Wookiee in the pit, the motley crowd pressing up against the ring, screaming encouragement.
Get him!
Rip his fur off!
1,000 credits on the Wookiee!
Which one?
Statement. Fights are planned in advance. Query. How is Black Kersantan a contestant?
Oh, good question, IG-90. And I actually have the answer. He strangled the other fighter and stepped in. No one was going to say no. I mean, would you, Bossk?
I am not that kind of reckless, Bebox. Black Kersantan is a different sort. I've captured enough Wookiees and sold them to traders to feed the pits. Until Kersantan, I'd never met one who volunteered.
The air was thickening by the second with anticipation. The soupy atmosphere of that back room grew hot and feverish as the crowd thirsted for blood. I studied Kersantan as he glowered down at the other Wookiee. He was truly massive. I mean, Wookiees are generally massive, but Santi even towered over his unlucky Wookiee opponent. His copious black fur was tangled and knotted, but still somehow looked positively majestic. Like one of those unruly weeds that grows out in the wildest part of the forest, its leaves spreading until it covers all the neater, more orderly native plants. The long scar slashed over his left eye pulsed with adrenaline as he sized up his opponent, who was starting to look like he regretted stepping into the ring in the first place. The fighting pit was somehow even more grime-encrusted than the bar area. Of course, part of that was probably due to all the blood, stains old and new smeared over every visible surface. Who knew how ancient some of that gore was? Oh, boy! Okay, so this was Santi's technique. Don't just rip off your opponent's fur, rip off his whole arm. Gets the fight off to a good start. It was definitely the most appendages I'd ever seen severed during a pit fight. But that wasn't what made it so riveting.
Black Kersantan is triumphant.
No. It was the moment right after he won. He looked up from his kill, from that mess of fur and blood and gigantic Wookiee limbs now making a horrendous mess of the pit fight floor, and his eyes met mine. He gazed at me for a long time, his scar pulsing wildly, and I felt something. At the time, I didn't know what it was. Later, I'd realize it was connection. Kinship. Instantly knowing someone else who's learned how to survive, no matter what. Despite our different, hairstyles, in many ways, we were exactly the same.
Let's get him a drink. He's always thirsty after beating a guy to death.
And that was my cue. Hey, boys! Of all the scuzzy backroom pit fighting rings in all the galaxy, can you believe we walked into this one?
Statement. I shot my way in.
You asked us to meet you here, Avra. It is hardly a surprise to any of us.
Spoil sport. Shall we get Santi that drink and discuss my extremely lucrative business proposition? And so, we gathered round for a celebratory drink. It was a nice way to build camaraderie among this crew of scoundrels.
Oh yeah, yeah, we know. Pit fight standards have slipped since you quit.
Does it matter? You would have won easily. You always do.
Oh, no, don't you two start again. I refuse to play peacemaker. Yes, we all know Bossk has hunted down a lot of Wookiees.
They were bounties, like any other. I treated them no differently. I am not sure why you care, given that you betrayed your own people.
What did he say? I didn't quite catch the nuance.
He said he's not concerned about other Wookiees. He just wants to know that Bossk won't try to double-cross him.
I would not. Unlike some people at this table, I believe in upholding the code at any cost.
Okay, so did I mention that I need you all to actually cooperate for this mission? Everyone's appendages need to still be attached to their bodies by the end of it. And I will be counting, Santi. Quiet down and wipe your mouth. There are ladies present. Now, let's get down to business. Imperial forces have permanently ended the Santul Pride, a criminal organization based right here on beautiful Santul. One of the Hutt clan's biggest competitors. They're done. Their personal fortune is in transit to its new home in an Imperial vault.
Statement. Everyone knows this.
I know a little extra. I know exactly how it's being transported, how to circumvent its guards, and, most of all, how to get away. So, gentlemen and violent robots, who wants to be rich? You probably noticed that I neglected to mention one tiny little fact to my compatriots. I decided it would be best if my crew of ruthless bounty hunters didn't know Darth Vader was behind the whole operation. First of all, his Dark Lordliness had entrusted me with a task that involved stealing from the Empire, the people he'd sworn allegiance to. As he'd said, it was a matter of delicacy. I needed to show him that despite my tornado-like way of dealing with things, I was very trustworthy. Someone who definitely doesn't do things like steal extremely valuable books on a whim because she's trying to impress a girl, or fall off a very high climbing formation because she's distracted by a girl, or... never mind, you get the idea. And yes, I did just use the word trustworthy to describe myself, and I can practically see that smug little smile spreading across your face. But in order to use Vader to my best advantage, I mean, he had to trust me. Fully. And I'd do whatever I had to in order to make that happen. Something else you should know by now. Anyway, I thought not letting my gang of scoundrels in on the totality of my plan was also wise, because, well, bounty hunters are the worst gossips this side of the Outer Rim. I didn't want them to think there was perhaps a little something more to this mission than, let's all collect a bunch of credits for ourselves and retire, or at least splurge on that solid gold bowcaster. But of course there was more to it than that. Perhaps more importantly, people tend to do their best work when they think they're only in it for personal gain. And I needed everybody to do their absolute best work. Using my very special extra intel, that I definitely did not obtain from a certain Dark Lord, We tracked the Imperial cruiser carrying the Suntul Pride's fortune to Anthon Prime, located on the very edge of the Outer Rim. IG-90, B-Box, Bosk, 000, and I watched the cruiser navigate around the planet's gaseous atmosphere from the Archangel. As for Santi and BT, they were otherwise engaged. But be patient, I'll get to that in just a bit. That's not even the most secret part of this plan. I've said too much already. Back to the Imperial cruiser toting around all that cash. Right, here they come. I swear, I can see all those credits from here.
Query, given that it is impossible to see the interior of the Imperial cruiser...
Relax, IG-90. It was a joke. An exaggeration.
Query.
No more queries. What happens next, Aphra?
When they enter the asteroid belt, we move. Come on, someone say it!
Very well, Mistress Aphra. What asteroid belt?
There is only one asteroid, as far as I can see.
Yeah, Aphra, you promised us an actual asteroid belt.
Query. The Imperial cruiser is headed for this single asteroid, but that doesn't seem like much of a deterrent.
All right. Everyone be quiet now. I really only needed one of you to set that up. Now I just need a teeny-weeny beat of anticipatory silence as I hit this big, shiny button.
Mistress, did you just detonate the single asteroid, thereby creating an asteroid belt?
Indeed I did, my murderous robot friend. I may or may not have also already fitted said single asteroid with some super neato explosives. Genius, no?
Statement. It is unclear whether or not this simple action is worthy of the genius designation.
Yeah, I think that's Aphra's own designation, wherein genius simply encompasses whatever she's doing at the time.
Wow, really? I start our amazing mission off on a truly explosive note, and all the rest of you can do is criticize. All right, on to step two. Ion torpedo away. For the next 5 minutes, the Imperials will think their systems being down is a side effect of the collision. Let's go to work. While the imps were occupied with all those thoroughly distracting explosions I sent their way, my crew did a little spacewalk on the underside of their cruiser and boarded through an unguarded hatch. Everything was going exactly to plan. And I was already so impressed with myself. That was some incredible initiative-taking work. I mean, who else would have thought to create a whole asteroid belt?
We're in.
Statement. Obviously.
No need to be rude, metalhead.
Statement. My programming does not allow for anything designated as rude.
Clearly it does, IG-90.
Okay. Cool it with the bounty hunter banter. Remember, I said we need to end this mission with everyone's limbs intact.
Statement. B-Box started it.
Ignoring that. All right, let's see. The vault is... somewhere. B-Box, that door leads to the crew's quarters. Keep it sealed. Make sure it looks like a localized malfunction.
Order me like an astrobot again, and you'll get a slug through your head. I know what I'm doing.
In 10 minutes' time, you'll all be able to make a house out of credit ingots, B-Box. I'd suggest not killing me before that. Now, let's all get ready. Expect contact with Vault Security in 3, 2... Okay, the Viper droids are ahead of schedule. But at least now we know where the vault is.
Hard to believe Imperials use droids for work like this. Obsolete.
Interjection. Offensive.
You're an IG. Not the same.
The Imperial Stormtrooper's pension scheme isn't exactly market-leading, Bosk. They're not letting anyone with anything other than a program in their head anywhere near the rich stuff.
It still doesn't make sense.
Statement. On the contrary, Viper droids are actually quite suited to a number of tasks.
This conversation is unnecessary.
Aw, B-Box, it's all right. We need to have a little fun here. And speaking of fun, I've got something very special prepared for our best Viper droid friends.
What's that?
You interrupted my big reveal! It's an electromagnetic pulse grenade that I've elevated with just a dash of extra juice.
Extra what?
Get ready. And... bombs away! Okay, boys! Shoot everything you can! And I'll do the vault part, since that requires my expertise. We've only got a couple more minutes before the imps get the door open.
Let them.
Murder on your own time, Bosk. If we let them through, we have to blow the ship to cover our traces. We need to make sure no one knows we were ever here. Now keep shooting up those droids and let me work! Oh, hello, Vault. Don't you look absolutely beautiful? I know we were in a high-stress situation here, but communing with that big shiny vault forced my mind to completely relax. It was like the rest of the room, and all its shoot-em-up glory disappeared, and it was just me and the vault. That special mechanical language passing between us until it agreed to open up to me. There's just something about that moment when you hear the telltale click. Maybe because it feels like the vault is trusting me with its deepest, darkest secrets. Or maybe in this case it was because there was a truly disgusting amount of credits on the other side. Anyway, tempting as it was, my goal this time actually wasn't to crack the vault open. Oh, what? You're confused by that? Chelly, you're saying, what is this plan? And exactly how many parts of it are secret? Is this all some sort of elaborate ploy for you to keep all those credits for yourself? But then, why wouldn't you crack the safe? Jeez, what's with all the super nosy questions? Don't you trust me to... Actually, scratch that. You totally shouldn't trust me. You shouldn't even trust me to tell my own story right. You should, however, know that I'm not a dirty double-crosser set on using a bunch of willing suckers to steal all that cash and then keep it for myself. Shame on you for even thinking that. I mean, when working with bounty hunters, you have to uphold at least some aspects of the code. Anyway, this part, the bit with the vault, I really only keep a secret from you, dear listener. And that was only so I could tell you what I was up to at the most dramatic moment possible. When things are going crash, bang, boom. But rest assured, the boys knew what I was doing. My heart was beating a zillion miles a minute as I planted a homing beacon, another one of my special creations, with just a little extra juice, on the vault. That prepared it for the next step of my brilliant plan. And now, with the homer set, let's run for our lives! 000, tell that big hairy lump he can start his run.
Very good, Mistress Aphra. Mr. Kazantin, Mistress Aphra informs me you can begin.
Oh, I didn't tell you about this part either. But don't worry, the boys all knew about this too. Can you please stop thinking the absolute worst of me? I do have some honor. See, here's where Santi came in. As the rest of us skedaddled back to the Archangel, he piloted his gunship through my incredible fake asteroid belt, shooting out a cable to lasso one of the asteroids. Then, boom! He rammed that asteroid into the Imperial cruiser, cracking open the vault. That's right. We broke into the vault from the other side. From space. I know. Sometimes I impress myself, even. I gazed out into space as we spacewalked our way along the underside of the Imperial cruiser. Credit ingots spilled out into the starscape. An ingot belt to rival the asteroid belt. Shiny and beautiful and so very, very expensive. They glittered as they floated through the stars, their surfaces like rainbow prisms. And even though we were too far away to actually see this, I thought, just for a moment, that I could see my face reflected in their multicolored surfaces. My eyes sparked with the excitement of adventure, the triumph of a mission accomplished. And I was beaming. That triumph surging through my veins like wildfire. Hell, I'll say it. In that moment, right after accomplishing my first solo mission for Darth Vader, I felt great. I could finally, in a way, see why my father had chased that feeling so hard. Why he'd completely neglected his wife and only child in pursuit of making his mark. It was absolutely intoxicating. Exhilaration and pride and the call of all those credits swirling through my bloodstream in a heady mix. And as the ingot belt shimmered its way across this little patch of galaxy, I just let myself feel that. And I tried to somehow beam that feeling through time, back to tiny Chelly Lona Afra and her dusty chatter plants. Someday, I thought to her, someday you will be more. And all of this will have been worth it.
Welcome back to the Archangel, Mistress Afra. Black Crescenton's asteroid appears to have successfully penetrated the hull. The ingots and all evidence you were ever there is jettisoning into space. It's rather pretty. Though it is a shame no humanoids were harmed.
Not the time, Trip. Now, if I've calculated this right, BT will do the rest. Anyone with fingers, cross them, and hope that BT can generate enough of a field to scoop up the loot.
I'm confident he can, Mistress. BT is quite resourceful.
That's what I'm counting on, Trip, because losing several Krazillion credits into space would put a downer on the day. Oh yes, that was another part of my brilliant plan. BT generated a magnetic field, containing as many of the credits as he could. Of course, it wasn't all the credits. There were just so many. So we had to watch a bunch of them float away, like an ominous storm cloud of money. I can't say that didn't hurt, and tiny Chelly Lona Afra probably would have been disappointed in me for that. But once we got all the credits, BT did manage to save onboard the Archangel. It was still impressive. Piles and piles of shiny ingots as far as the eye could see. Their brilliant surfaces throwing so many colors around the room. But given that my team consisted of a bunch of ruthless bounty hunters, they weren't entirely satisfied.
Are we rich?
We're rich. Her.
That is not what you promised, Afra.
Come on. Do you all really need to glare at me like that? Math was hard. There were a lot of variables we just didn't know. And a plan of this magnitude, this brilliance, required a lot of moving parts. BT still generated a pretty big field.
Not big enough.
Yeah, and we really don't need to keep hearing about the brilliance of your plan, Afra, especially since it resulted in such a middling payoff.
It's still a score. It's still a huge score.
Statement. It could have been huger.
Cheer up, IG-90. We've ripped off the Empire, and they don't know we were even here, which is pretty brilliant.
Statement. B-Box is right. The brilliance of said plan is irrelevant if the result is unsatisfactory.
Agreed.
Look, if this giant avalanche of credits is just too measly for y'all, I'll be glad to take it off your hands.
Statement. Do that and die.
Ah, Chrysanthemum is right. Better to have something than nothing. And there's no such thing as easy credits. Let's carve this Naboo pond foul up.
Glad to see you coming around to my amazingness, B-Box. I knew you were my favorite.
That's not what I said.
I fronted the cash for all the equipment. I take expense. Then divide by...
I don't think so.
Okay. Expenses will be taken from my back end.
Better.
God, you guys are not team players.
Yeah, the Wookiee's right. You better not have crossed us, Afra.
Statement. You can't hide from bounty hunters.
Strictly speaking, you can hide. It just tends to be ineffective. Running is statistically better, but only fractionally.
Comic, murderous pedantry aside, the droid's right. You all know I've got a fairly lax attitude to property rights. But do you think I'd cross 4 of the deadliest bounty hunters in the galaxy?
Statement. Yes.
I think you'd think about it, then slink away.
So, do this again soon sometime? My employer has more work coming up.
Eh. Next time, you pay up front, Aphra.
You know, B-Box, I'll see what I can do.
Next up, Anthon 13, a moon of Anthon Prime. I'd sent the bounty hunter gang on their merry way, so it was just me, 000, and BT, camped out in a dark, shadowy cave, replete with jagged rock formations throwing monstrous shadows everywhere. So cold, so dark, so mysterious. Can't you just hear the mysterious, wind? Whistling through. Ooh, scary. The perfect atmosphere for a grand reveal. Like one of those rock formations revealing itself to be an actual monster jumping out of the shadows. Or an unexpected bit of light filtering into all that darkness. Beautiful, beautiful light, emanating directly from the massive pool of ingots dumped in the cave center. Whoa. It was such an endless sea of credits. You could have jumped in and had yourself a little swim, if you were into that sort of thing.
Well, Mistress Aphra, this is quite the bounty. Perhaps the bounty hunters would have been less enraged if you had simply shared all of the ingots with them.
Shh, Trip. Just let me enjoy this for a minute. Oh, what? You're confused again?
Oh, did you really think I'd let all those beautiful ingots slip off into space like that?
Oh, do you know me at all? Nah, there was always another twist to my grand old heist plan.
Remember how I said there were things I wasn't telling you?
And, well, most of those things the bounty hunter boys knew about. But, this one, they didn't. Recording. Rewind a previously encrypted section 688, right after Black Chrysanthemum's epic limb-crushing pit fight. Passcode. Aphra knows you are a fool and will totally fall for anything. 759.
Hey! Psst! Santi! Before we go get that drink with our scummy compatriots, let's have a little one-on-one bonding time. When I saw you across the way, pulling off that guy's arms, well, I felt something. Something real. You could perhaps call it a... kinship. Yes, yes, I'm aware that us being related is very likely a biological impossibility. What I meant was, on the inside, once you get past my strikingly lovely face and all your matted fur, we're the same. We both always dive headfirst into a fight. Even if there's a possibility we'll end up with slightly fewer appendages. We don't care. We're always chasing that thrill. Wait. Don't walk away from me. Look, I know you. After you won, I could see it in your eyes. You're a survivor. And so am I. And I have a way that we could both survive a little better. Right. Okay. So, this mission involves us cracking into an Imperial cruiser safe and liberating a bunch of credits into the unforgiving expanse of space. Space, Santi. Okay, I'm getting to that. Don't kill me for attempting to tell this extra dramatic-like. I'm trying to entertain you here. Okay, so, I'm thinking. These other bozo bounty hunters will be perfectly happy with a slightly lesser take. So what if I send you, on your own ship, out to gather up all of those spacefaring credits? But we only give them some of the take. The bulk of it? Well, you'll deposit that directly into this glorious cave I have waiting on Anthon 13. I don't know. You figure out that part. Why do I have to do everything? Using a satellite-type situation sounds perfect! And I have a droid who can help with generating the magnetic field. See, Santi, I knew you were the perfect person to help me with my brilliant plan and make it even brilliant-er. I know. I've been through a lot, too. And, well, what the Zonti brothers did to you, what all of those people did to you, it wasn't right. You want me to help you with something else? Well, okay. Let's hear it. Recording. Jump back to the part in the cave of Anthon 13. You know, me enjoying all of my new riches. Okay, so I am a dirty double-crosser set on using a bunch of willing suckers to steal all that cash and then keep it for myself. You know me way better than you think you do. I mean, I didn't keep it all. They got something. But they surely could have gotten a whole lot more. Just look at the way it sparkles!
Would this be the time to confess I have always had a hankering to be coated in a precious metal, Mistress Aphra?
We all have our unfulfilled desires, Trip. Staying hungry forces us to strive for personal betterment.
Goodness! Do you really believe that?
Of course not. But there's no way you're getting any of the sparkly. Sorry. And anyway, I think you're beautiful the way you are.
Well, Mistress Aphra, now I'm feeling extra unfulfilled.
For the moment, you'll have to stay that way. Our best bounty hunting pal should be here any minute. Santi! There you are! I know your previous career had you in front of a crowd, but I didn't know you were that good an actor. Remind me never to play cards with you. Yeah, it's 5 times your score. And I'll help you with your other problem. The thing we talked about. Yeah. I do like my arms attached to my body. We're in this together. Cross 3 bounty hunters? Sure. 4? Even I'm not that suicidal. But hey, pleasure working with you, huh? And I almost never say that. Well, I almost never mean it. As he lumbered off, struggling under the weight of all his treasure, our eyes met once more. And I felt that pulse of familiarity again. That knowing. I knew why he kept volunteering for these brutal fights. Why he was constantly chasing these risks that came with no reward, except the possibility of immediate death. He hungered for the sheer thrill of it. He needed to feel it, deep down in his oversized Wookiee bones. He needed to feel himself surviving. I understood that. I knew I'd see him again. I wondered if our eyes would meet in the same way. I wondered if he knew I'd meant a lot of what I'd said to him. And that I hardly ever mean anything I say. Don't say anything. I know what you're thinking. And I... Well, maybe I should say this now. Recording. Delete that last bit. It's boring and no one cares. Let's talk about something more scintillating. After Santi took off, it didn't take Vader long to show up. I was eager to dazzle him with all I'd managed to accomplish on my first solo mission. Hey, boss. Nice to see ya. I promised the Wookiee help with finding the people responsible for enslaving him and cutting him up. Any chance of helping me out?
We will see.
Okay, I'll take it. Now, we have a droid factory. We have the bounty hunters. We have the money to pay the bounty hunters. What's next? Is it a holiday? I think I'm due a little holiday time.
I need certain information confirmed from one who is proving elusive.
That kid who destroyed the Death Star? Skywalker?
Not yet. First, this.
You see what I mean about alternating between wildly secret and mind-blowingly forthcoming? Anyway,
He handed me a data chip. And gave me a name. And one more bit of information. Something he really wanted to know about. But I'll get to that in due time.
Contact me only when you have succeeded. If you do not contact me within a month, I will contact you. That is not something you would enjoy.
And with that, he was gone, leaving me once again with no company but my killer robots. Oh, and all my money. Normally, the money would have been the main thing I took pleasure in. But this time, there was something more. I could tell I'd impressed him. I'd impressed Darth Vader. I'd done something only I could do. And